Keener's Car Wash is the first social enterprise delivering environmentally friendly mobile car washing in Canada, with all proceeds going towards homeless youth programs. Keener's Car Wash will be washing cars for free on Thursday, May 15th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., not far from Thunderbird Parkade. Check out keenerscarwash.ca for more details. Get your car washed for free and support at-risk youth on May 15th.
Just aesthetically, something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys a
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Cool. Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture. And that's been around for centuries.
After decades of decline, drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically in Canada since 2004. Most drowning victims had no intention of going in the water, and harmless situations can become dangerous quickly. This summer, if you're going out on the water, even if you're not planning on going in it, be water smart and be prepared. Here are some things you can do to reduce your risk of drowning. Learn to swim and swim to survive. If you can tread water for a minute, you can orient yourself, and if you can swim 50 meters in a pool, you'll most likely be able to swim to safety in open water. Most drowning fatalities occur within just 15 meters of safety. Wear a life jacket or personal flotation device. 80% of all boating deaths were people who were not wearing one. Take a marine safety course, and if you're going kayaking or canoeing, know how to get out of your craft if it flips over. Practice basic safety moves such as wet exits and self-rescues. Save the alcohol for dry land after you're done playing on the water. And never go out alone. For more information and more safety tips, go to lifesaving.bc.ca.
SpongeBob, you're wasting me precious carbon dioxide. I'm pumping it into the atmosphere, boy. Thanks to global warming, the temperature will soon go through the roof, and then we'll have an endless summer.
Why do you want an endless summer, Mr. Krabs?
So I can open me latest money-making venture, the Krusty Pool.
The endless summer does sound fun.
And profitable.
Fun and profitable. Big business does it again.
Unfortunately, for those of us who aren't talking sponges, climate change isn't quite as fun. Luckily, there are many easy ways for students to conserve energy.
If chargers for cell phones, cameras, and laptops are left plugged in, they continue to draw electricity even when not connected to the device. This phantom load can be avoided by unplugging electronics and chargers after use. A more convenient option is to hook electronics up to a power bar, which can be switched off after use.
For more energy-saving tips, go to www.bchydro.com. This message brought to you by BC Hydro and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
I was a prisoner.
Cocaine addiction.
Cocaine took my dream. It made me lie, steal.
Cocaine took my will, my soul.
And all I wanted was more cocaine. Cocaine Anonymous gave me freedom and saved my life. If you got a problem with cocaine, pick up the phone. We're here to help.
Contact Cocaine Anonymous toll-free by calling 866-662-8300 or find them online at ca-bc.ca.
Right here on News 101. right here on News 101.
What motivated you to become a candidate in the provincial election?
The media portrayal of last week's protest that resulted in polarizing images of black-clad activists taking to the streets.
He was just explaining to us the reason why they wanted to show this film on campus.
The official stance is that we are for the Olympics.
News 101 reporter Brad Pepping was there.
By discriminating against homeless people in Vancouver, there's a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal people as well as people with disabilities.
I was pretty outraged. I mean, it is outrageous.
In-depth coverage from an alternative perspective.
You're listening to News 101, Vancouver's only live, volunteer-produced, student and community newscast, offering you local, national, and international news from an alternative perspective.
What's left of us?
Today is Friday, the 2nd of May. I'm Christine.
And I'm Moore May. You're listening to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you live from the University of British Columbia, to our UBC campus, to the residents of Vancouver, and to listeners of our newscast and podcast on our website, citr.ca.
Good evening. It's 5:10 and time for a full hour of independent campus, local, and international news. Today's top stories and segments are our science and technology correspondent Marco, who will be live in studio with us this week.
We also have a report from Christine Kim on the recent amendments of the Canadian Elections Act.
Later in the program, we have Rachel Bergen, who brings us some news on this weekend's upcoming Comic Book Day. And we also have another resonating reconciliation documentary, courtesy of Regent Radio, produced by Joanne Baer and Clint Murphy.
But first, some headlines for today.
In campus news, the UBC School of Dentistry is under investigation for alleged fraud after millions of dollars go missing. The story is still developing, but it would appear that a high-profile Vancouver dentist, Dr. Christopher Zed, left his position at UBC a few months after the institution began auditing financial irregularities in programs overseen by him. News 101 will have more on this story as it develops over the upcoming week.
In national news, Toronto Mayor Rob Ford to take leave of absence. The leave was announced after a new video of Ford surfaced smoking what appears to be crack cocaine. The Globe and Mail released frames from the footage that was recorded and leaked to them by Ford's drug dealer. The mayor incumbent had previously promised to stop abusing substances after a similar incident, and this week Ford announced that he would be seeking professional help during his leave. The move has many Torontonians breathing a sigh of relief as the chain of incidents dubbed the Ford Crack Circus has become a point of international mockery for not only Toronto, but as Canada as a whole. One can only hope that Ford's decision to seek professional help will allow Toronto to repair its damaged reputation.
Sean Atleo resigns as National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations. Atleo's resignation comes after chiefs across the country openly voiced their opposition to his support of the efforts to overhaul education on reserves put forward by the federal government. At a news conference this morning, Atleo stated that education has been the cornerstone of his post as head of this country's largest Aboriginal organization. In a prepared statement, Atleo said, quote, "I have fought for this work and to achieve this mandate. This work is too important and I am not prepared to be an obstacle to it or a lightning rod distracting from the kids and their potential," end quote. Native leaders from across the country said that they would have little recourse if the federal government pushed ahead with reforms of on-reserve education reforms that are opposed by a large number of First Nations.
In international news, dozens killed in airstrike on public market in Syria. President Bashar al-Assad's air force targeted the market early yesterday morning, killing 33 and injuring many more. The aerial attack on the Helak neighborhood of northeast Aleppo comes one day after a barrel bomb dropped by government aircraft on an elementary school in another part of the city killed at least 20 people, including 17 children. Assad's regime has been unwavering in recent weeks, and rebel forces remain splintered in the north of the country. According to U.S. officials, the months-long effort to dismantle Syria's chemical weapons program has ground to a halt because Syria is holding on to 27 tons of sarin as leveraged in a dispute with the international community
over the future of faculty's use to store the deadly agents. Damascus has turned over all but an estimated 8% of its chemical weapons stockpile to the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. The deadline to relinquish all chemical weapons was surpassed last Sunday. Furthermore, recent allegations have arisen against the Assad regime that chlorine gas was recently used in attacks against civilians, allegations which international watchdogs are still investigating. Meanwhile, rebel groups remain splintered in the rebel-held territories of Syria. Major factions exist between rebels fighting under the flag of the Free Syrian Army and Islamic extremist group ISIS, which officially pledges allegiance to Al-Qaeda. All that seems certain for the war-torn country is that conflict will continue and that a peaceful Syria is still some time away.
Independent journalists opened dozens of media outlets in Yemen to bolster the country's freedom of the press. Since the popular toppling of the previous autocratic regime in 2011, Yemeni people have been testing the limits of freedom of press in their country. Yemen's information ministry says that it's working on legislation that would require new outlets to obtain licenses before being allowed to operate. VICE reports that 20 new independent TV, radio, and print media outlets have been launched recently without any kind of official approval. Even after the previous government's overthrow, Yemeni journalists still face threats of intimidation, and many say that political commentary remains off limits. The Yemen Times recently released a report claiming that fatwas against writers and journalists were on the rise. However, there is hope among media types that freedom of speech will be codified in the next Yemeni constitution, which is being drafted and is due in January of next week. Meanwhile, the future of press freedom in Yemen remains uncertain in the country as the country rebuilds itself, with the new government attempting to consolidate its power and insurgency and political and social instability. These are your UBC campus local, national, and international headlines on News 101. We're going to take a quick PSA break, but please stay tuned.
We're the Armenian Students Association, and we're here to bring together everyone,
Armenians and non-Armenians,
who are interested in learning about the Armenian culture here at UBC.
Find us on Facebook at ASAUBC to stay up to date. We look forward to seeing you at our future events.
We be,
A Jihad for Love, Whitewater Black Gold, A Red Girl's Guide to Reasoning, East Hastings Pharmacy, Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry, Misrepresentation.
Cinema Politica UBC screens politically charged films with speakers and discussions every month. Screenings take place at the Norm Theater in the Sub and are by donation. To learn more, visit cinemapolitica.org/UBC.
Welcome back to News 101. You're listening to us on CITR 101.9 FM or online at citr.ca, broadcasting live from the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. Thank you for being with us. Up next, we have Segment 1, our weekly science and technology segment with Marco.
Good afternoon. This is Marco from CITR's AstroTalk. Today, we're going to have some more stories on Earth Day, a few stories from the medical world, what a mantis shrimp is teaching astronauts about spaceflight, and some more space news in general. On last week's show, I presented a list of the 10 most polluted places in the world. One of these places in Bangladesh was highlighted because Western companies are operating there and are dumping their chemicals into the rivers. Surprisingly, the next day, on April 26th, on CBC, Frontline aired a program talking about the exact same thing. They also showed the working conditions of the workers in the factories where they breathe toxic fumes and where small children are employed for 14 hours a day in dark rooms that are not aired out. So it seems that in the West, we are celebrating Earth Day, but our multinationals in the rest of the world are still polluting and causing problems for the residents of the world. Also, in Indonesia, there's a lot of mining going on, a lot of pollution, so the Western companies are not held to the same standards as the companies are here. So next year's Earth Day, I hope we can include everybody in the world so we can improve the conditions for everybody in terms of the atmosphere, the air they breathe in, and the water that they drink. On another Earth Day story, Lafarge Canada, in cooperation with Surrey-based Mantra Energy Alternatives, is using a new technology to convert harmful greenhouse gases into useful chemicals. Lafarge Canada produces cement, and cement manufacturing releases large amounts of CO2 into the atmosphere. The new technology, by the way, was developed at UBC, and this technology captures the CO2 and prevents it from being released into the atmosphere. The project will start early next year and will convert 100 kilograms of CO2 a day into useful chemicals. Just another way that UBC is helping to save our planet. Now in medical news, the airplane stowaway that climbed into the airplane wheel well in San Jose Airport may have survived in suspended animation. As you may recall, a 15-year-old jumped the fence, jumped into the plane's wheel well, and when the plane took off, he flew the whole way in the wheel well. The teenager on Sunday, April 20th, survived the 5.5-hour flight to Maui with minimal oxygen at an altitude of 38,000 feet, or 11,600 meters. The temperatures were minus 80 degrees, and there was very little oxygen available for the boy. Medical people speculate the boy remained unconscious for most of the flight and probably survived by entering a state of suspended animation in which his body's metabolism slowed down, required less oxygen and less energy. Dr. Evelina Graver, a cardiologist at North Shore University Hospital in New York, claims that what happened to the boy is a true miracle. There was another instance in 2006 when a 35-year-old man survived 24 days on a snowy mountainside in Japan. His body temperature plummeted to 22 degrees Celsius, and his organs had shut down, and his metabolism had slowed to a crawl. Yet, he fully recovered from the incident. It seems that what happened to this climber was the same thing that happened to this boy. In other medical news, researchers in France are saying that marijuana, they've done a test where marijuana is not so harmless. They claim pot may be linked to heart problems. Pot may not have a chilling out effect on everyone, and smoking marijuana could increase the heart problems, the French Addicto Vigilance Network states. They did tests from 2006 to 2010 where they, out of 2,000 cases, 35 people claimed they had heart problems. 20 of these people died, and 9 had problems like slowed heart instances or increased risk of heart disease. Some of these patients had other risk factors, such as they smoked tobacco and drank alcohol, but half of the patients used marijuana only. Other tests have reported a link between marijuana and serious heart problems. In one study involving 4,000 patients in the U.S., researchers found that people's risks of heart attack increase fivefold in the first hour of marijuana use. In another story, a mantis shrimp in the deep oceans is teaching NASA astronauts a thing or two about material design. The mantis shrimp, or commonly known as stomatopod, can be classified as a smasher or a spearer. This particular stomatopod, which is a smasher, uses a club-like appendage that accelerates faster than a bullet to deliver an impact to its prey. The force of the impact is 1,000 times the shrimp's own body weight, and the club stays intact even after thousands of blows. NASA astronauts are now using the design of this clubber to design new spacecraft and also aircraft. the scientists have found that the structure of the club is an endectile shock absorber, and each layer is rotated slightly compared to the previous one in a helicoidal pattern. When tests were run with this shrimp-inspired material and two other materials that NASA uses in the aerospace industry, the shrimp-inspired material fared much better. NASA astronauts are now looking to this to develop new spacecraft, new football helmets, and new airplane material. In space news, astronauts are excited about a Doom space cloud they first saw in 2011. The Doom space cloud, called G2, is heading towards the center of our galaxy, where a large black hole resides. The large black hole, which is 4 million times the mass of our sun, is about 25,000 light years away. The scientists first noticed G2 in 2011, and they predicted that G2 would reach the black hole by March 2014. Now, in April, the scientists have first proof that the mass of gas has actually reached the black hole. The gas is as big as our solar system and weighs three times as much as the Earth does. If a person would fall into a black hole, what would happen is, if they fell in legs first, their legs would be stretched much more than their head. And scientists are now seeing this happening to the black hole. The leading edge of the black hole is accelerating much faster than the leading part of the gas is accelerating much faster into the black hole than the end part of the gas. Scientists describe it as watching someone pour drops of milk into a swirling cup of coffee. Since this massive gas in the black hole is 25,000 light years away, what we are seeing is something that happened 25,000 years ago. But scientists are still excited about this discovery. It is difficult to create experience of black holes on Earth, so scientists, this is one of the first times they can actually track something happening with a black hole as it happens. Scientists still know very little about black holes, but they do speculate that black holes played a major role in forming galaxies and in powering our own Milky Way galaxy. In other space news, China's president wants more military use of space. On April 15th in the China Daily, it was reported that President Xi Jinping asked his Air Force to hasten its integration of air and space capabilities. This was on a visit to the headquarters of the People's Liberation Army in Beijing. Analysts speculate that President Xi did this in response to actions by the U.S. and other world powers in space. In other space news, scientists are excited for the discovery of a new ocean on the moon Enceladus. Enceladus is one of the moons of the planet Saturn, and the spacecraft Cassini has now noticed giant plumes of water and geysers spouting out of the surface of Saturn's icy moon Enceladus. This will create momentum for life-hunting missions to the outer solar system. Jonathan Lunin of Cornell University states, "I don't know which of the two moons, Enceladus or Europa, are more likely to have life. Europa, by the way, is one of the moons of Jupiter, and it also harbors water under its surface. Another moon of Jupiter, Ganymede, also has an ocean under its surface, but unlike Europa and Enceladus, their oceans are in contact with rocky sea floors. This is interesting because chemical reactions are possible on these sea floors. Cassini's spectrometer has analyzed the geysers that are spouting out of Enceladus, and it has detected salts and organic compounds necessary for life." In another story that actually happened in World War II, but is related to the present day, The U.S. Navy in World War II wanted to boost its sailors' night vision. It wanted to see if these sailors could see infrared signals at light. Usually, infrared light is beyond human eyesight, but the Air Force fed its volunteers vitamin A from the liver of wall-eyed pikes. This boosted the IR receptors in the eyes of the sailors. Surprisingly, 4 months later, the volunteers' vision changed and they could see in the infrared. This project was abandoned because the U.S. Army developed an electronic snooper scope which could see infrared. This is relevant for present-day astronomy because we are now in the golden age of astronomy. Just recently, telescopes that have the capability to see in the infrared or the X-ray have opened up a whole new world for astronomers to look into. If humans travel to Mars or to the moon, imagine what more they could see if they developed infrared capabilities. In another story, the James Webb Telescope has had the last piece installed in what NASA calls the world's largest clean room at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland. Webb will replace Hubble, and it has 4 new instruments that Hubble did not. It's a larger telescope, and it will be the most powerful telescope ever built. Webb is designed, built, and put into operation in cooperation with the Canadian Space Agency and the European Space Agency. Anyone who wants to find out more about the Webb telescope can go to www.nasa.gov/web. In other space news, a brown dwarf has recently been discovered. This is the 4th closest star system to our sun. The brown dwarf was discovered by NASA's Spitzer and Wise telescope. The Wise telescope stands for Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer. So the brown dwarf was discovered with an infrared telescope. The brown dwarf is thought to be as frosty as Earth's North Pole. Brown dwarfs are collapsing balls of gases, but they lack enough mass to burn nuclear fuel and radiate energy. The brown dwarf is 3 to 10 times the mass of Jupiter. And by the way, its designation is WISE J085510.83-714425, if anybody was wondering. Just last year, another pair of brown dwarfs were discovered, which were 6.5 light years away from Earth. These brown dwarfs rotate around each other, and it is speculated that 75% or more of the star systems in our universe are multi-star systems, unlike our sun, which has only one star. In another story, the Orion spacecraft feels the vibes at Kennedy Space Center. On April 25th, the new Orion spacecraft was put under test to simulate vibrations of spaceflight. The Orion spacecraft will take humans to Mars. It will also, in 2025, fly out, corral an asteroid, bring it to the moon, and dock it to the moon so humans could study the asteroid. Two electromagnetic shakers were used to simulate spaceflight. Orion was put under high stress tests in frequency ranges from 5 shakes a second to 500,000 shakes a second, and it tested out great. Orion's first flight will be in a few months, where it will take a 3,600-mile flight, and it will be a 4-hour mission into space. It will be unmanned, but NASA looks to Orion, the new generation of spacecraft, to bring our species into space. Therefore, Orion and the Webb telescope represents 2 new technologies that NASA has developed that will bring our race closer to space. Thank you. This has been Marco with Science News. Good night.
Thank you, Marco. We're going to take a quick PSA break, but stay tuned for more contributor segments here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Doxa Documentary Film Festival discovers new forms of nonfiction film, everything from mountain gorillas to cartoon ponies and the men who love them, with a special spotlight program, Secrets and Lies, that examines the art of deception. The festival is happening May 2nd to 11th. For more information, go to www.doxafestival.ca.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news, as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
We be,
A Jihad for Love, Whitewater Black Gold, A Red Girl's Guide to Reasoning, East Hastings Pharmacy, Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry, Misrepresentation.
Cinema Politica UBC screens politically charged films with speakers and discussions every month. Screenings take place at the Norm Theatre in the Sub and are by donation. To learn more, visit cinemapolitica.org/UBC.
Welcome back to News 101. You are listening to us on CITR 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca, broadcasting live from the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. Thank you for being with us.
Up next, we have a report from Christine Kim on the recent amendments of the Canadian Elections Act.
Great. So, the federal government submitted 45 changes to the Fair Elections Act. That was originally proposed in Parliament on February 4, 2014, by Minister of Democratic Reform, Pierre Poilievre. These changes were a response to the wide range of outcry by the public against the proposed bill. Some of the greatest criticisms against the Fair Elections Act are as follows. Currently, there are three ways to vote. You can show a piece of identification with your photo, name, and address issued by a government agency like a driver's license. The second way to vote is by having two pieces of authorized identification that both have your name on the card, that both have your name on it, and only one requires an address. An example of this would be showing your healthcare card and something like a hydroelectric bill. Finally, and most important to this discussion, is option three. This third option is taking an oath and having an elector vouch for you. The elector vouching for you needs to have authorized identification and be in the same polling division as you. In doing so, you would be able to vote without identification. The Fair Elections Act initially proposed that option three be scrapped entirely. However, given the demographic of people who are homeless and simply do not carry authorized ID, scrapping this option would be depriving the rights of some Canadian citizens to voice their opinions in national elections. Thus, from the 45 amendments, a compromise was made to keep the vouching option for voters, but make it stricter by requiring that one needs to prove his or her ID alone, not including address, and then have another vouch for oneself. Some MPs explained that this new amendment still freezes some voters out of being able to cast a ballot, but the bill seems set to pass. It must not be present once again in front of It must first be presented once again in front of the House and then to the Senate. But Tory Senator and Committee Member Linda Frum says, "I see no reason why the bill will not be adopted by the Senate once it is amended by the House." End quote. Another criticism against the Fair Elections Act was undoubtedly the restrictions proposed to be made against the Commissioner of Canada Elections and the Chief Electoral Officer. Firstly, let's discuss the restrictions against the Commissioner of Canada Elections. This government official is the person responsible of investigating possible wrongdoings under the Elections Act. The proposition by the new bill states that if a candidate or political party is under investigation, the commissioner needs to provide written notice, quote, as soon as feasible after beginning an investigation to the person whose conduct is being investigated, end quote. This has been criticized as unfair due to the fact that the person being investigated
could immediately cover his or her actions upon notice. Furthermore, on the topic of allowing wrongdoings under the Elections Act go by without reprimand, another proposition by the Fair Elections Act is to let political parties spend as much as they want on election fundraising from people who have contributed $20 or more in the last 5 years. A concern about this is that it would let parties solicit support from votes within such calls, as advertising calls and fundraising calls are hard to distinguish and regulate. As former Chief Electoral Officer Jean-Pierre Kingsley said at the Procedure and House Affairs Committee on March 25th, he said, quote, It is simply not possible to seek funds without including reasons for giving, and this can only constitute advertising for or against a party or a candidate. Moreover, it favors rich and established parties to the detriment of small and especially newer parties. End quote. One of the reforms to the Fair Elections Act in response to such criticism has been to provide the Commissioner of Canada Elections the ability to deny giving pre-hand notification of investigation if it, quote, might compromise or hinder the investigation or any other investigation, end quote. Now, on the topic of the Chief Electoral Officer and his duties, the Chief Electoral Officer will be restricted to only speaking of five topics publicly. These five topics are how to become a candidate, how voters can add their names to the voters list or have it corrected, how voters can cast ballot, and how voters can prove their identity and address, and finally, how voters with disabilities can get into polling stations and mark their ballots. Some concerns raised with this is the inability for the Chief Electoral Officer under these new reforms to work with programs that teach students about civic affairs and how elections work. The Senate committee has recommended that the Fair Elections Act be amended to allow the Chief Electoral Officer to continue his work with educating the young about Canadian elections. Nonetheless, critics say that this specific amendment is nothing less than a gag order. One of the amendments within the Fair Elections Act bill has been to retain the programs aimed at primary and secondary school students, primary and secondary school programs like Student Vote. However, Elections Canada, as an agency, is still being forced under this bill to cease all forms of ads encouraging people or groups of people with particularly low voter turnout, like that of the post-secondary students, to cast a ballot. This is incredibly controversial, as it is difficult to understand why such actions against encouraging a demographic of the Canadian population with low voter turnout is needed. Another one of the most contentious pieces of the Fair Elections Act is that of the polling clerks. A central polling supervisor is the individual in charge of a particular polling location. And before amendments were made to the Fair Elections Act, the bill proposed that the party who won the most votes in the previous election be the one to recommend people to act as the central poll supervisor. This addition of an entirely new partisan appointment process was deemed undemocratic by many, and one of the reforms to the Act was undoubtedly to scrap this idea. However, the bill does still stand by, allowing local party associations to nominate poll clerks and deputy returning officers. Currently, the people for these positions are nominated by the party's local candidates. On another topic, these firms robocalling people during elections are required by the Fair Elections Bill to keep a record of each call and record when they were made for up to 3 years. Before any amendments were made to the Fair Elections Act, this number was actually one, and this number was actually one year, and has been amended to three due to suggestions of making this period longer. Furthermore, this bill creates new offenses and higher fines for those caught making fraudulent calls, which definitely addresses the concerns of many Canadians in regards to fake phone calls and false information. However, recently, the Chief Electoral Officer has pointed out that the bill fails to require firms robocalling people during elections to keep records of what numbers that they call. Thus, investigators will be able to hear robocalls and know when they took place, but not who they targeted. Finally, another source of contention regarding the Fair Elections Act has been the proposition to raise donation limits by a substantial amount. The Act proposed that donation limits be raised from $1,200 to $1,500 and then by another $25 every single year after. This again would widen the advantage those wealthier political parties would have over the small political parties without similar funding. Thus, criticisms have been made saying the Fair Elections Act is still making national elections less democratic and entirely unfair. While this report has touched on some of the reforms made to the Fair Elections Act and many of the contentions with the Act itself, you can find the full 344 pages of proposed amendments on the Globe and Mail website. Thank you for listening. I'm Christine Kim. We're going to take a quick PSA break, but please stay tuned for more.
Like a snake calling on a phone. I've got no time to be alone. Summer coming at me all the time. You better think I'll lose my mind.
Australia and Canada are both countries with a whole lot of space to create some of the wildest sounds on the planet. Join your host Matthew as he explores the musical heritage of his native Australia and features fresh sounds from Canada's independent music world. That's Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, live Fridays from 6 to 7:30 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. And I'm stranded on my own. Stranded.
Welcome back to News 101. You are listening to us on CITR 101.9 FM or online at citr.ca, broadcasting live from the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. Thank you for being with us.
For our next segment on the show, we have Rachel Bergen's report on this weekend's upcoming Comic Book Day.
We are going to actually take a quick PSA break, so please stay tuned for the next Comic Book Day segment.
Power Chord, every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What's this Pilate? He fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Yep, Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Sunya!
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
I know.
magic. You're my number one. And really, it's tragic that the storm weather used to be seen.
Welcome back to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM. We are going to go straight into our upcoming Comic Day book report with Rachel Bergen.
Last May, thousands of people around North America flocked to local shops to pick up a free comic or two. This year, these shops in Vancouver are expecting an even bigger crowd at the annual Free Comic Book Day.
We are giving away a huge selection of comics. This is possibly the biggest year for Free Comic Day as far as the number of different titles that are available.
That's Aaron Birkenhead. He's the owner of RX Comics on Main Street, one of the participating shops. Free Comic Book Day usually means a line around the block and huge sales, he says.
It's usually a blockbuster day for sales because we always have a promotion going on where we have discounts on everything in the store. And there's usually a huge lineup for most of the day.
Brent Stratichuk, who works at Comic Shop on West 4th, says they always run out of comics. This year, they're ordering even more.
There's probably more titles, and we're ordering more quantities of them as well, because it's just been, you know, a bigger hit every year or so. We thought we ordered comparable numbers to the year before for last year, and to at least last through the weekend, and by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we had sold out of everything.
Retailers are giving away more than 50 different comics on Saturday. Classics like Archie and The Tick, along with big-name publishers like Marvel and DC, are among those you can claim. That is, if you get there before the crowd does. Some say the growing popularity of comics is because of hugely successful superhero movies and TV shows based on graphic novels. Captain America has been at the top of the box office across Canada for a month. The Walking Dead is one of TV's most popular shows. Both are based on comic books.
10 years ago, the average person that might go see, you know, a Batman movie or Spider-Man still wouldn't think of stepping inside a store like this, but, you know, just the longer it's, you know, in the public eye, the just more generally accepted it is, I guess. The more movies and TV shows that are coming out and the more popular they are, the more people are starting to come in and check out the source material, too.
But stereotypes still persist about so-called comic book geeks. Michael Ray works at Golden Age Collectibles on Granville Street. He thinks the media has gone a long way in expanding people's views of comic book nerds.
You know, we're no longer hairy little nerds in our parents' basements.
Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory is a popular example of a comic book nerd. Stratichuk thinks the socially awkward character may actually be helping those who fit into the stereotype.
It seems to be working in reverse, where it's actually kind of cool to be a nerd now, you know, get your geek on, so to speak. So I guess it's just, you know, with the onslaught of all the movies and TV tie-ins and things, people are just generally accepting the whole, you know, that nerd lifestyle more.
These days, the comic crowd is a bit more diverse.
Some of the stereotypes actually still hold true, but I think for the most part, there seems to be just a more young, you know, hip readership for comics these days.
Comic book lovers of all kinds are expected to turn up for the free stuff on Saturday. So, if you plan to go, take some advice from one comic book nerd to another.
Get here early because the you know, we do have, a large turnout for it. And some of the, not everything we order in large quantities. So if you want something specific, get here early.
This has been Rachel Bergen for CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you to Rachel Bergen for that report. And next on News 101, we're going to end today's show with a weather report by Christine.
Hello, guys. So currently it is 19 degrees Celsius.
Tonight, there is increasing cloudiness, a few showers beginning this evening, windy with a low of 11. On Saturday, we have cloudy with 60% chance of showers in the morning and early afternoon, a few showers beginning in the late afternoon, a high of 14. On Sunday, you know, it's forecasted to just be rain with a high of 13. And for the upcoming Monday, cloudy with 60% chance of showers, a low of 9, and a high of 14. So that's your local weather forecast for this upcoming weekend and Monday, brought to you by Environment Canada. So today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. If you'd like to share your comments, get involved, or give us an important news tip, contact us through our email news@citr.ca. You can subscribe to our podcast and listen to our latest interviews and segments on our website, citr.ca/news. For more independent news, join us next Friday at 5 p.m. for another edition of News 101. I'm Christine. My co-host was Morgan. Today's show was produced by Iqbal. From the entire news team at CITR, thank you for listening. Unfortunately, we've run out of time for a resonating reconciliation documentary. Tune in next week to hear that piece. And please stay tuned for CITR's own Stranded at 6 p.m. I'm still here thinking.
FM Vancouver Reloaded, playing your favorite tunes and mouth-humping your ear holes full of voice talk. Yeah, we do that.
Regulations här. Du lyssnar på CITR 109.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Band played a song.